Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hamid, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. You of Abdul Shaheed, your host of Optimal Health, and also your certified symptometry health coach. Brother and sister, it is our aim and objective every week on AM360 to enlighten health-conscious individuals on root cause therapeutics and provide them with guidance on general wellness and cell nourishment. Brother and sister, health is all about taking care of the needs of our cells, protecting our DNA, keeping it in good repair, removing blood impurities, and enforcing scientific cooking, scientific eating, and scientific living on this planet. Planet Earth is well known in symptometry as an echo chamber of illusion. Echo chamber of illusion. And a testing ground with booger traps everywhere. Booger traps everywhere. We ask you to join us every week to learn about these booger traps that cause health to be denied. That cause health to be denied, brothers and sisters. Optimal Health, the name of our program. Now, what is Optimal Health? Optimal health is the natural ability of all of the body parts to resist diseases by making the body resistant to microbes and parasites, as well as toxic metal, radiation, poison, toxic alkaloid, and acid. This requires mastering the health rule, the iron rule, the pH rule, all of these things, the weakness law, the speed law, natural laws. All these things are very, very important, brother and sister, for us to find out about it. But unfortunately, no one is teaching us. But now we have a school called the American School of Symptometry to help us teach about health and how we can achieve optimal health. Therefore, optimal health must be earned. It's not inherited. It doesn't come from our parents, our sisters and brothers, our grandparents. So we ask people, again, to join us on this journey of optimal health. Health is a journey, brothers and sisters. It's not a destination. You don't get there and sit down and do nothing. The human being is high maintenance, energy dependent, carbon-based biological organism. That's what we are. And we were created to live here and thrive here. But we must learn a lot of things in order to do that. So welcome to a new episode of Optimal Health. We have our co-host with us today, Mrs. Rita Taylor. She's going to be working with us, a certified symptometry health coach, also from the American School of Symptometry. Absolutely amazing. Assalamu alaikum, Mrs. Rita.
Salah. I am delighted to be here. Salah.
Welcome.
Mm-hmm.
We have a new episode of Optimal Health, and we're going to continue to talk about cancer. We know the month of October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And we've been speaking about cancer during the month of October. So this is another week for us to talk about cancer. So we're going to be addressing understanding cancer. That's what we're going to be addressing today. We hope we have a number of callers. We hope they call in, ask questions, share comments. The last few weeks, we have had excellent program and excellent participation from our callers, and we welcome them. We ask them to take a moment to call someone to get them to join us. Just call someone, get them to join us, because the information that we are sharing on Optimal Health is scientifically verifiable. So if we can use a natural and scientific approach to our health, this would be the best option for us. It would be the best option. So we ask our listeners to take a moment to call someone that they know that may have cancer. They know someone that have cancer. They know someone that might say that their cancer is in remission. They need to get more information, more scientific, verifiable information. That's what we share on this program called Optimal Health. Brother and sister, this information you will not find anywhere else unless you sign up, enroll, and become a student at the American School of Symptometry. Absolutely amazing. So, Ms. Rita, we're going to take a short break and come back, and then we're going to start our program and make the best use of the time. And we certainly appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us today. And the same for our listening audience. We thank them for taking the time out to be with us. We share excellent information all about our health. If we don't have our health, we don't have anything.
Have nothing.
Money is good. It takes care of a lot of things, but your health is more important. Our health is more important than all of the money in the world. And there's no amount of money you can pay for a human body. We've been gifted this body. Now we must learn how to take care of it. So we keep living and keep living and putting off death until we reach our fullest potential. That is objective. Because the Almighty sent us all here with a purpose, with a reason, with an objective. That's why we've all been sent here. So we must find it and carry out that responsibility. So, brothers and sisters, we're going to take a short break, so please do not go anywhere at all unless you take a moment to call someone, ask them to join us on Optimal Health. You have the number. Give them the number so they can join us as well. Thank you so very much. So please do not go anywhere. We'll be right back. You with Abdul Shaheed and guest, Mrs. Rita Taylor, a certified Scientology health coach. They'll be working with us as well today. Thank you so very much. We'll be right back. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Dupreeta Hadi, host of Al Islam and Focus Learning Lab here on AM 360, inviting you to join me Saturday evening at our new time, 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, as we continue to share inspiring and thought-provoking Islamic education. Inshallah, I will see you in the lab at our new time, 5 to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Saturday evening. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you kindly.
Join us live every Wednesday morning from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with host Naima Latif and yours truly, Imam Kareem Hamid, presenting The Female Solution. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. You're with Abdul Shaheed and our guest, Mrs. Rita Taylor, also a certified Scientology health coach. And she's helping us out today on Optimal Health, a new episode of Optimal Health. And we'll be talking about cancer in general. We've been talking about cancer all month long here on Optimal Health because the month of October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And you've heard us say many things about cancer. So we have even more information to share about cancer. Even more information. So if you have questions, make note of them. And we're going to have a question and answer session. And I hope you took a moment to call someone to ask them to join us on Optimal Health, because we're going to be sharing information that they're not going to find anywhere else. We all are responsible, brother and sister, for our own health, even though we have doctors to help us. But nevertheless, we are responsible. When our mind agrees with what our cells need, our cells will reward us with good health. Our health is a reward that comes from our cells. We're made up of 75 to 100 trillion of them, over 200 different cell types. If they are healthy, we will be healthy, brothers and sisters. If they are congested and compromised, we'll be congested and compromised. This is how it works. So we must learn how to take care of them, give them what they need in terms of nutrients and resources to produce energy. As long as they continue to produce energy, brothers and sisters, we'll keep living and keep living and keep going and keep going. So, Mrs. Rita.
Yes.
We're going to give way to you.
Mm-hmm.
Go right ahead.
Good evening. Okay, good evening. Assalamu alaikum. I'm delighted to be here. And we've been talking for the past couple of weeks about cancer. And you know what? It is all about the food that we consume, the water that we drink. And we are a master of our own health, not the doctor, not your husband, not your wife. Because if you're going to suffer anything in your life, it's going to be you. Your health, it should be your number one priority. We talked about the food, like saturated fats, avocados, butter, all those foods that gives you what you call high cholesterol, or, you know, basically every day, those are the food that we need to avoid, and it's up to us to avoid them, or if you're going to eat them moderately, but we don't, and we keep on, you know, consuming all those foods. And we need to be educated about where we live on this planet. You have so many food out here. Eat whatever you want. But is every food that you touch good for you? Food is a double-edged sword. It means that it can help you, nourish you, but it can also kill you because there are poisons and alkaloids in these food that is going to mess with your blood. And believe me, one of the causes of diseases is dirty blood. Your blood, what goes into your blood? We learn about energy, but one of those diseases is your blood. So whatever you put into your blood, if it's not good for you, it's going to come back to haunt you later. You know, when you're young, you don't feel it, but as you get older, you will. So we've been talking about cancer. We're talking about the food and everything. Today, I want us to focus on the people that have had the cancer survivor. Do you know of anybody? Raise your hand if you're a cancer survivor or you have a family member who is a cancer survivor. I'm raising my hand because I do know. I have family members who are cancer survivors. And I'm going to share with you that you are not surviving anything. As a matter of fact, the cancer is still in you. What they did to you was that they poisoned your blood with radiation and chemotherapy and some kind of surgery in your brain. That is not going to work for you. Let me share with you a couple of things. What are the standard procedure for treating a cancer? What are the standard procedures? They can either give you radiation or chemotherapy or surgery. Those are the three options. And I'm going to use my husband here because he had colon cancer. And when he had a colon cancer, they gave him the option of doing, before we came to centometry, doing chemotherapy, radiation, or surgery. The doctor said, because of where the cancer is, he can do surgery and to be able to remove all the cells and everything else. Of course, we bought it. We did a surgery. He said remove all the cancer cells. But we were told to do chemotherapy for 6 months or radiation. My husband said, I'm not doing both. I'm just doing one. And so he did get radiation. What happened? He got the radiation. And every time he went in there, the white blood cells and everything else is plummeting because they're putting poison in his body. Does these treatment work? No, it doesn't. The thing is that when we hear about cancer, we start freaking out. Instead of saying, you know, let me get a second opinion, you think that you're going to die over there. Because when we were told, we were freaking out that we think, oh, my gosh, he's going to die. We weren't thinking straight. So when you go to the doctor, you are in charge. And so when they say you have cancer, you need to say, what are my options? And if they give you these three options, which they've done all the time, then you need to say, let me have a second opinion. That's where centometry comes in. And I'm going to share with you the story of a cancer survivor, which happens to be my husband, okay? What happened is that when you say you're a survivor, what are you surviving from? The cancer is still in your body. It hasn't gone anywhere. They just cover it up with poison for a while. So you get a reprieve, and it comes right back. So why are you a cancer survivor? You are not. And let me tell you, they say you're a cancer survivor. You feel constipated. You are cold because circulation is poor. You know what? You have water retention in your legs and your feet. And, you know, you complain of aches and pain. And they tell you, and you know, memory loss. Sometimes you can't go to sleep at night. And they tell you you're a cancer survivor. So why? What are you surviving from? Not anything. Because the cancer is still in you. So the question I would like to ask you is, what is chemo and radiation do to you as a patient? What they do is that they create, they put debris and sludge in your blood. And then these things become jammed, so your cells are jammed and it's not functioning. But they tell you that you're surviving, so you are not surviving. As a matter of fact, your cells are locked down. They are not functioning the way it's supposed to be. So when we came to symptometry, we were not even aware that we've been fed with poison. And so my husband was a stage 3 when we came in, came to symptometry, and Dr. Nasser said, you know what, we're going to have to ionize that cancer. My husband said, what? I just went through chemo. He said, no, they just gave you poison. And so what they did is that we have particulate that broke the bond. You know, the heat, the particulate have heat, thermal energy, that broke the bond for my husband. And basically restore what we've lost. I mean, honestly, we did not have any problems after we got the particulate to ionize and hydrolyze and electrolytically associated. We did all that. And my husband did it for years. And you know what? And I'm using my husband. If he's gone, he didn't die of cancer, he died of something else. I'm telling you that that cancer never went back, never came back. When we went to colonoscopy, they couldn't believe. They said, what happened? What happened to the cancer? And my husband just will laugh. But we have a secret weapon. The weapon is the particulate that symptometry offered us that opened our eyes that we should have run to symptometry the day that we walk into that hospital and they said we have cancer. We should have said, you know, let's pause here. Give us a second. We're going to find a second opinion, and we're going to come back to you. But you see, when you get to that hospital, your mind is so going crazy. Because it's, oh, I have cancer. Oh, I have cancer. I'm going to die. No, you're not going to die. Cancer doesn't kill. It is the poison they put in your body that kills. Okay, so I have told you that you are not a survivor. The cancer is still there. So what are you going to do to make sure that that cancer doesn't come back? When you are doing that, when you are with the doctor, they said that, oh, the cancer can come back within 5 years. And if it comes within 5 years, you know, your chance of survival is zero. Or this cancer can come back. I've known some people who have cancer for 20 years and it came back. And they died. Okay? So it doesn't matter. The point is, I want to make with you is that you're not surviving from anything. The cancer that you had from the beginning is still there. They cover it up with poison, and they jam your cells with debris and sludge, and so you think, oh, I'm surviving. I had some friends that said, oh, my cancer survivor. What are you surviving from? Because the cancer is still there. So what I would like to share with you is that when you go to the doctor and they say you have cancer, say, time out. I'm going to go and find a second opinion before I can come back here. And, you know, symptometry is available. We have the particulate. We have the molecules that will help you clean the blood that they've been poisoning you with. Rebuild all your cells and capillaries. Everything that you have will be rebuilt so that you become a new person again. so that that swelling you have on your foot, the pain you have, will be gone. But again, you have to eat scientifically. You have to cook your food scientifically. You have to do all the right things to go with the particulate. Because if you do not prepare your food scientifically, if you go out there and bring yourself, you know, collard green, and you just zoom in, you come in, wash it off, and put it on the stove for 2 hours, whatever, you've done nothing. That collard green have some poisons, some alkaloids, all the things that they have to protect themselves in the wild that you're going to eat without doing anything about it, without neutralizing the poisons and everything else. So what you do is that you bring it in, you put it, you wash it, because you know it's coming from soil, and you don't even know what kind of soil it's coming from. So you need to wash it real well. You need to put it in saline solution for 8 minutes so that you can neutralize the poison and everything else before you put it, you cook it for 1 hour, at least an hour and a half. You cook it with uncovered. Why? Because they're poison, ammonia, and phyto and ferulic acid in here that you don't want to consume, so you need to evaporate it. So how do you do that? So you cook that for 1 hour so that all these poison will come out because you don't want to consume them. And then about an hour and a half, you cover it up and cook it for 1 hour and a half, depending on how tough the collard green is, because sometimes these collard greens are pretty tough, so you have to really boil it. Again, what you've done is that you're going to have collard green that is good for you because the poisons have been neutralized. And so when you eat them, you're not going to have any stomach upset. I'm okay. Again, that's what you say, cook it scientifically. What about meat that you buy from the grocery store? Do you know they put injection in those meats? Do you know they put all kinds of things in there to make them grow fat and all this stuff? What do you do with it? What do you do with that? This is what you do. When you come in there, if it has any fat in there, a fat on the meat, you need to cut all the fat out because you don't need the fat. Cut it all out. And again, wash it really well. Season it. Boil it for 1 hour on the high heat. Boil it on 1 hour on a high heat. And after that, you take it out, season it, and put it in a crock pot. For 11 hours. What are you doing? You're neutralizing, you know, anything, the poison in there, and also you bring out the amino acid that you need for yourself. So these are the kind of things, and for the 11 hours, when you take that meat, you know that you're eating good stuff. So when you go buy something from the grocery store and you put it on the grill for 30 minutes, you've done nothing. As a matter of fact, all the poisons are in there, and you're going to eat them and say, oh, I have good, great, it's so great. But what did you do to all the poisons that was in there? So it's up to us to prevent these kind of diseases. And if we don't do anything about it and we just eat it any way we want, then when you go and do your lab work and they say your cholesterol is high, you say, well, what happens? It all depends on the food that you have been eating. Okay, so these are the kind of things I want to share with you. Again, you know what? If you had a breast cancer, which a lot of women do every time, what is the cause of the breast cancer? Because the part of the place where you had the breast cancer did not have oxygen. We've known that since 1934. So they know that it doesn't have oxygen, so why are they going to treat you with chemo? Why are they going to treat it with radiation? So you need to ask yourself. But you know what? We do have the solution in scintometry. And again, there's a story in scintometry where a lady had breast cancer. She was, you know, she went through all this stuff, and the doctor said, that's all we can do. So they sent her to a home hospice. Okay, they sent her to a home hospice. Well, and they gave her just few months left. I have news for you. This lady is still alive 6 years later because symptometry ionized and had they broke the bonds and made sure that the cancer that's in her is removed. And you know, this lady wanted to live so badly that she is still alive and kicking, and they do not understand why. It's not a miracle. Symptometry is not a miracle. We just have the solutions. We have the particulates that will, you know, rebuild yourself. We'll make sure that all the cells that they've destroyed, they'll rebuild it for you. And they'll build with particulates, point by point for you. And they'll ask you to not to eat certain food. Don't eat those food because they are not good for you. Okay? If you know, once in a while you knew it, but every day, no. Because I know that sometimes we're tempted to do things. So they tell you not to eat that food, do not eat that food because they have a reason. Take your particulates. And this lady, still alive, 6 years, she was given only a few months to live. So what are our solutions? The solutions are right here. All we're saying is that cancer should not be a death wish. If you're told you have cancer, you know that the reason you have cancer is they don't have oxygen in that area. So, yes, we can help you restore that. So instead of going through chemo where they're putting poison and in your blood and jam everything else so that you have the swelling, the pain, and all this stuff, and they say you are a cancer survivor, what are you surviving from? You're not surviving from anything. So symptometry will open you up, build your cells, build your capillaries, build everything else for you, and revitalize everything for you so that you become a new person. But again, it takes two to tango. You know, we have the particulate, but it is up to you to work with the doctor's symptometry to make sure you get to where you want to go. This lady that is still alive, she's doing all the right things. She's doing all the right things. So my thing with you is, symptometry is not a magic thing. Symptometry is using the right amount of the particulates to help you to rebuild yourself, to make sure that the sludge and the poison that they put in you are removed, because it has to be removed. If you don't, you're not going to be healthy. And we also know that you also need to have a lot of energy in you. You know, we need to have more energy in ourselves. So these are the kind of things that I like to share with you, that when they tell you you have cancer, it's not the end of the world. You have solutions. But don't destroy yourself by just not doing anything about it, because people have come through symptometry where they have stage 4 cancer. And they have, you know, their cancer cells are no longer there because we have the particulates to help you overcome them by eating the right food, by taking the particulates and the molecules, and doing all the things you're supposed to, so that you can clean yourself. The cell that is jammed, we want it on jam. Because if not, then you're going to have more problems. Things are going to filter into your blood. And then you say, well, I don't know what happened. And before you know it, they said the cancer is back. What happened to the remission? What remission? The cancer didn't go anywhere. It was still in your body. So symptometry do have the solution where we can break the bonds to make sure that the particulates will ionize and hydrolyze and make sure that you are built anew. So that is my message, that when you have this problem, come to symptometry, come to the school, learn as much as you can, because it's great to be a patient. It's also great to be a student. Because that's when you learn how to cook food right, how to do all the things, and the food you need to avoid and all that stuff. So that is my message about cancer survivors, the radiation, the chemo, and the surgery. I know if the surgery, you're supposed to have surgery, we will tell you, yes, you can have it. Like my husband, when he had the surgery, the oncologist did a good job in removing the cancer cell. But we still have to go through chemo. We still have to go through, they still put poison on him. And before my husband, his belly, you know, as he aged, that belly becomes so big, like he's pregnant. We used to laugh at him, like, oh, are you pregnant there? All these poison, it goes back into your system. And so please don't let them poison you. We do have the particulates and the molecules to help you to bounce back and rebuild yourself and become anew, because it's being done for people and it can be done for you. Assalamu alaikum.
Mrs. Rita, we're going to take a short break, then we're going to come back and see if we have any questions before you depart. We certainly appreciate that. Was excellent information that was shared, and hopefully people are listening, and also hopefully they're taking notes, because our health is, we're responsible for our own health, brother and sister. Nobody else is. We have to make the right choices, the right decision, and we have to do what we need to do to repair our DNA, to repair the cells, to give them what they need to produce energy, enzyme, hormone, all these different things that keep us on a paradigm of what's normal. We're going to take a short break, brother and sister. Please do not go anywhere at all. You're with Abdul Shaheed and guests, and this is Optima Health. If you can take a moment to call someone, have them to join us, because we have a lot more information to share. Please do that. And they can learn some things and be empowered to take care and take charge of their own health. So please do not go anywhere. We'll be right back. Thank you.
There's a place where words make people, a place where you're invited to expand your heart and mind. There's a place where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. You're listening to the American Muslim 360 Radio Network, 24/7, Muslim-hosted, from religion and current world events, politics, faith and education, marriage and health, music and arts, physical fitness and more. Join AM 360, where we're helping to build a model community every day. It's a place where you can help remake the world.
Peace and blessings. I'm DeLacy Umar Phillips, producer and host of the Dynamic Islamic Faith Program, Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty, right here on AM 360 radio broadcast, the number one Islamic station in the nation, where your intellect is respected, your voice protected. Brought to you each Saturday, 10 a.m. till 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty is how we focus on the principles of Al-Islam and how they prepare us to be successful in the dynamic, diverse life of the Western culture. Thank you. See you right here, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, every Saturday. Peace and blessings.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. CWSC, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, invites you to join us every Tuesday and Thursday from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. for CARE on Air. That's the Council on American Islamic Relations. Our American Muslim 360 host is Edward Ahmed Mitchell, attorney and deputy director. Edward Ahmed Mitchell is an attorney and former journalist who serves as the deputy director of the Council on American Islamic Relations, the largest Muslim civil rights and advocacy organization in the United States. Join us every Tuesday and Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. You with Abdul Shahid and guest, Mrs. Rita Taylor. She just finished sharing some fantastic information about cancer, scientific verifiable information about cancer, and how we take care of the needs of ourselves. How we take care of the needs of ourselves. So anyone have a question or comment to make, just press 1 on your phone and we'll open your mic. Just press 1 on your phone. If anyone have a question at all for our guest before she has to depart, just press 1 on your phone. Thank you so very much. Press 1 on your phone. Look forward to hearing from all of you. If you have a question or comment about cancer, this is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Have you participated in generating money, raising money for research for cancer? Or you have you participated in the programs about cancer and supporting people who have cancer? Now we have information that we can share with them, scientific verifiable information. Okay, Ms. Rita, we see a hand, 636-9980. Your mic is open. It's opening, rather. Why it's taking so long? 636-980. Your mic is open. We can't hear you. If you might be on mute, I'm not sure, but we can't hear you at the moment. 636.
All right. Yes, thank you. My phone was on mute. I apologize. This is Kareem Hamid calling up from St. Louis, Missouri.
Assalamu alaikum.
And I have a question. I've received two differing opinions on this subject matter that one physician stated that there is no way of eradicating cancer of the liver when it's right in the center of the liver, that even though treatment is showing some reduction of the cancerous tumor, that it will never completely go away. Then I heard another opinion from someone that is higher in knowledge than the first physician that I heard the opinion from. And she said that that is not true, that the cancer can be eliminated. Mm. But as long as it's shrinking, that's a good sign, and that it should be actually monitored to see if there's further reduction. The treatment being applied is chemotherapy. So my question is this, that if the cancer continues to shrink, then why wouldn't it just, be eradicated? That's my question. I've heard that cancer of the liver is hard to surgically remove it because of all the blood vessels when it's right in the center of the kidney. So if you could give me some information on that, if you would, please. And thank you, Abdul Shahid. This is a wonderful program, my brother, and it is very
thank
critical.
You.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you for that question. And we're going to do our best to share some light on it. Ms. Rita, would you like to make an attempt first?
Yeah, I would like to say that just because it's shrinking doesn't mean that the tumor is gone. Remember, you're putting poison in your body. So shrinking that thing doesn't mean the cancer is gone. No, the cancer is still there. why are they treating, you know, cancer, which is poisonous, with another poison? So the first doctor that told you, I agree with the first doctor that said, that cancer is not gone. It is not gone.
No, they didn't say it was gone.
Okay.
The cancer mass was shrinking due to the chemo treatment.
Chemotherapy.
And I know it's not gone. It's not gone. But there is always the possibility of eradication. So, you know, if the cancer is shrinking, you know, anything that is alive, it grows. As things die, they shrink. You know, so if there is no growth, then isn't that a good sign? Even if it's stabilized, isn't that a good sign? It's not gone. But the possibility of it being eradicated is the question that I have.
Well, Brother Saheed, you can go for a second try, but so far I'm concerned, even though it is shrinking.
Shrinking?
The
mm-hmm.
tumor is shrinking. The tumor is still going to be there, even if it shrank completely, because the cell that is being impacted is not being rebuilt. They're just covering it up.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Exactly. In order for them to really help you so that cancer doesn't come back again, is for rebuild that cell that that cell. And that's what we do at Centometry. You have to rebuild the cell. You have to unjam all unjam with all the suit and all the debris that has been building in your liver. So even though they're giving you chemo, they're just covering it up, and it's not going to be like, oh yeah, you have in a survival thing, they call it cancer survival thing, but it will come back, because until you get to the root cause, why did you get that thing in the first place? What caused it for you to have this
mm-hmm.
cancer?
Mm-hmm.
That's what you need to ask yourself. If the doctor is not going to be able to tell you why did you get this in the first place, you're in the wrong place. You're in the wrong, because if they can't get to the root cause, whatever they're doing is cosmetic. Whatever they're doing to
yes.
you is cosmetic. Because if 5 years from now, 2 years from now, you're going to face the same thing, because they never went to the root cause. Why did Mr. ABC get this in the first place? What kind of food was he eating? What happened to that person? What is his history? Those are the kind of things that we do in Centometry that the doctors do not find the time to do. So until you get to the root cause of why you get in the first place, it's cosmetic. It's called a symptom treatment. It's cosmetic. That's why people, cancer come back all the time, because they don't get to the root cause of why Mr. ABC got it in the first place. And that's what we do in Centometry. So, Brother Saheed, you can add more to it.
Yeah, I just simply like to add, when we talk about what caused the cancer, it was poison in the food, in the air, in the water, toxic metal, cooking with saturated fat that caused the cell in the liver to become calcified. It is our cells that produce all our cells essential, brain essential, and body essential. Those are the things that keep us healthy. They keep us on the paradigm of what's normal. In this case, we're talking about the liver. The liver made of cells. Cells. If those cells do not divide, then they will not be able to produce the essential to keep the liver healthy. It is those cells that keep the liver healthy. And the way that they keep the liver healthy is by producing energy. Energy. There were so many years went by when the cancer, the liver cell, were not able to produce enough energy. That made the, pause there one moment, please. You said a word that is very key to this.
Yes.
Because under chemo treatment, there is a great loss of energy.
Yes.
You feel very lethargic.
Loss of energy is the key.
Right. Okay. Go ahead, my brother.
And see, here's what a human being is. A human being is an energy-dependent, carbon-based biological organism. We must always produce energy. That's everywhere in the human body. Anywhere there's energy loss or not enough energy, then there will be a disease. This is quantum physics that your doctor was not taught. And we must now utilize the cells, because only the cells can do this. This is why we call it symptom treatment. The cells are compromised. Only the cells have the ability to remove and shrink the cancer where it doesn't come back. Man cannot do it. When the man used poison to treat poison, it's tantamount to symptom treatment. And also, the cells are being ignored. The blood impurities that circulate in the person's blood that cause many problems in the liver have been ignored. They're not being ionized and removed. They're being ignored. So once all those blood impurities accumulate in the liver, not only you're going to have a liver problem, other organs are going to become problematic, especially the kidney. They all work together. We're interdependent, interrelated, interconnected, integrated. A disease anywhere in our body is going to sooner or later affect the entire body, including our brain. We won't be able to make excellent decisions because of that. It is the cell that the Almighty put inside of us that's in charge of our health, not man. Even though man can do some marvelous things, the person cell became calcified in the liver. The liver became calcified. Why? Mainly because of saturated fat. What does saturated fat do in the liver and all over the body? It causes the cells to become calcified. Calcification, that's a crust surrounding the cell membrane. Surrounding the cell membrane, which means nothing get in, nothing get out. So now you have too many liver cell that's on lockdown. That's what Syntomager calls it. Lockdown. Mm-hmm. Nothing gets in. No nutrients, no resources to get in for those liver cells to produce energy. It takes energy to produce the essentials that's needed to keep the liver healthy. And poison is negative energy. Disease is negative energy. And the person continuing to lose energy. And this is the case. Syntometer ionizes the cell membrane, open it back up. Something that's now on lockdown is open, must be opened back up so nutrients and resources would enter the cell. After using the subatomic particle called particulates, they'll create. They have been energized with electrical energy, thermal energy, magnetic energy. And the person must modify their diet to a scientific diet so they can produce more enzyme to speed up the production of energy again. The person has an enzyme deficit. This is how it all started. Didn't have enough enzymes to speed up the production of energy and all of the essential, so the cell will have the energy to produce them. We need enzymes to speed up the production of all the essential, but without enzyme, nothing will happen. Without enzyme, energy deficit occur in the liver. Chemotherapy is negative energy because it's poison. It's poison. The person have already managed to poison themselves. That's why they have a liver problem. It was in the food, in the air, in the water. They're toxic metal. They're everywhere. Now, what happened is, once you consume saturated fat, that toxic metal get trapped within the cells. They're trapped within the cells. And there's and when they're trapped in the cells and the calcification occur, it shut down oxygen from entering into the cell. Cancer cells exist because there is lack of oxygen. The condition has been made favorable for cancer to spontaneously come into existence because the conditions are favorable. No energy being produced. Cancer is an enzyme. It's a neoplastic enzyme that would destroy every tissue in the human body, and that is what its objective is. So you can use chemotherapy. The tumor will shrink, and that is good. Shrinking is good. But the cells did not cause the shrinkage. This is the difference. The cancer, the cells of the liver must shrink the cancer, shrink the tumor. They have the ability to do it. That's what they're created for, to create the state of normalcy again. And they are good at it. But we have to now remove the hindrance from the cell of the liver. And the first thing we must do is produce another enzyme called DNA polymerase that's in the liver. So the DNA is repaired. Because here's what must take place. Once the DNA is repaired with that enzyme called DNA polymerase, all this will come from the particulates that centometer will give the person. Once the DNA is repaired, now the gene will release the blueprint. What's the blueprint? The blueprint is a set of instructions to build protein. As a matter of fact, it is the manual for building protein. And this is what the cells uses. It's the manual. That manual only comes from the genes, and the genes will only release it when the DNA is in good repair. It is because the DNA was in disrepair when the person consumed poison in the food. Put the DNA in disrepair. Therefore, the liver cells do not have the instruction, the blueprint, the manual to produce all of the essentials to maintain the health of the liver. Sometimes you also give the person molecule, dehydrated nutrient and lipid molecule to jumpstart enzyme production and to produce energy again within the liver. Because now the cell of the liver will take those nutrients and resources to produce more energy, positive energy, not negative energy. Positive energy and the negative energy, they have the same tangent, but negative energy has 7 or 8 more tangent than positive energy. They're called friction, tension, resistance, inertia, stagnation. All those things are negative energy. It is negative energy that's placing positive energy in the human body. That's what a disease is. It's all about energy. A person who is sick is losing energy. And wherever that sickness appears, that's where they are losing energy the most. Now we have to jumpstart energy production if the person wants to cure their disease. Every disease is curable, brothers and sisters, because the Almighty has placed everything within us to cure every disease. We must repair the DNA, and the gene will now release the blueprint. And the person must learn to eat scientifically because it started with the food. 98% of the time, it was the food the person was eating. All food is not the same. There's many health disruptors in food, in the water, in the air we breathe. Toxic metal, they are everywhere. They are in everything, and we're breathing them. And once they get trapped in the cells, then now those cells are set up to produce a disease. And cancer, when there's no oxygen in the cell, cancer is anaerobic. It thrives without oxygen. Once you get oxygen back into the cell and the cell begins to produce enzyme and begins to produce energy again, the cells themselves will eradicate the cancer. And the person remove all of the blood impurities that circulate in their blood. Keep reducing them and reducing them and reducing them to speed up blood circulation. The person's blood is moving too slow. If the blood moves too slow, not at the speed of light, those liver cells will not be nourished. Blood must move at the speed of light in order to nourish those cells in the liver. The blood carries the resources. It carries the nutrients, but it also carries poison from the food, from the air, from the water, back to the liver, back to the heart, back to the brain. That's why we must always be doing the necessary repair and maintenance that no one ever told us about. The human being is high maintenance, not low. High maintenance. That things that we have to do every single day, brother and sister, if we want to maintain our health and live and thrive on this planet. The Almighty placed all of these things inside of us. We must learn how they operate. No doctor cures diseases. It is the cell of the body that cures the disease, that removes the anomaly. They are able to put things back to normalcy. If we fail to put things back to normalcy, there's a natural law. Whatever is abnormal must be put back to normalcy, because eventually the abnormalcy will be what will kill them. We're under the law. We're under the law. We just can't treat the disease. We have to go to the source, and the source is lack of energy, sludge, garbage, debris, poison, toxic, microbes. All these things are inside of us because we live on planet Earth.
Mm-hmm.
This is what must happen. The person must modify their diet so they don't keep poisoning themselves. They must modify their lifestyle. If you drink coffee and tea, you can't drink coffee and tea anymore. If you drink soda and put ice in it, you can't do it anymore. You can't put ice in water. All these things nullify the thermal energy that's in you. Thermal energy has also electrical energy and magnetic energy and thermal energy. If you deplete the thermal energy by what you're doing or what habit you have, there will not be electrical energy and there will not be magnetic energy or electromagnetic energy. The cells use energy to carry out its function to keep us healthy. We're energy dependent.
You know, as far as the source, you know, you are correct, not that I, you know, that there's a lot of source. I know.
Yes.
I worked at a corporation and a plant in Bridgeton, Missouri, and across from the plant was a dump site.
Oh.
Many of us start questioning it. A lot of people catching cancer that worked for the same company that I did. And come to find out, I went online and I found out that not only is it just a refuse dump, it's where they have buried nuclear waste. And that the nuclear waste is still burning. And that we believe that it contaminated the groundwater, because it's right near the Missouri River. And right, and the plant is located just across the street from this nuclear, from this site. So we are looking into that.
You have radioactive isotope and you have toxic metal that was ingested by the people in that area, and only subatomic particles could liquefy them to remove them from the body. Subatomic particles. We're the product of atomic collision, atom colliding in space to producing the energy. like everything else in the creation, came from atomic collision. The Almighty produced atoms, and atoms started to collide and explode, producing all of the 33 tangents of energy. And the largest tangent of energy is force.
Mm-hmm.
And that cancer has force behind it.
Mm-hmm.
We have to put up enough force to eradicate it. Only the cells can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what, how
okay,
we cure
I'm
it.
Going to
it.
Yes, sir. I'm going to, inshallah, get more information from you. And
yeah,
also,
I'm going to email you some information, some documents, and have you to read over them. And then we can, and when you're ready to take the next step, that's what we'll proceed to do.
Okay, I look
because,
forward to hearing from you.
Well,
yes, sir. Here's what we have to do, and this is for everyone on the call. We have to master a strategy. We have to master every defense that we have. We have to be willing to and determined to cure our disease. The health
mm-hmm.
and disease starts in the person's mind. It's a mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
by having the correct information, because
mm-hmm.
the doctors do not educate us. They don't
mm-hmm.
tell us the source.
Mm-hmm.
And they have not been trained about sores. They treat
mm-hmm.
something, they do surgery, and they prescribe drugs. That's what they do. It's kind of
mm-hmm.
like asking a carpenter to do electrician work.
Mm-hmm.
They're good at what they do,
mm-hmm.
but they're not the same.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it goes to the source. Remove the source of disease. Every disease has a source. Everyone. You remove the source and nourish the cells, and change the person's diet by modifying it, called scientific cooking and eating, and teach the person how to live on planet Earth to thrive.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's what must happen. So we'd be in compliance. So we would be in compliance with the health rule, the iron rule, the pH rule, all these different rules, the sulfur
mm-hmm.
law, the iron law, and the
mm-hmm.
natural laws. There are natural laws that the Almighty have established. We keep violating the fitra. We violate them, and we are gifted with a disease. This is what happens. No one has taught
mm-hmm.
us these things. It's very difficult to stay healthy on planet Earth because we have the troposphere, the most
mm-hmm.
where the gravitational force is at its worst and the barometric pressure is at its worst. If we don't produce enzymes, we're not going to have the energy we need because of all
mm-hmm.
these different forces acting on us. But we have everything we need inside of us already because we were created to live here. But now
mm-hmm.
we got to get smarter about it. That's what
mm-hmm.
psychology is teaching all of us at the American School of Symptometry, how to cure our own diseases with what Allah, Almighty God, has placed inside of each and every one of us. It's in us already.
Mm-hmm.
The key. No one ever taught us how these things operate and how they function. Absolutely amazing. So we look forward to working with your brother, Imam Kareem. We're going to email you some documents, let you check them out. And then when you're ready to move forward, we go to the next step, step by step by step. No disease should be a life-threatening situation once you know.
Mm-hmm.
My doctor tried to force me. I had cancer. Doctor tried to force me in those three options, and I always give the three options, radiation, chemotherapy, and surgery. Every single option, I asked my doctor, isn't it true that those three options would fail? And he was truthful. He said, yeah, they're going to fail. I said, why should I put myself through all that? I'm not doing it.
Right.
And I told him, I said, there's one option you did not share with me. He said, yes, what's that? I said, wait and see until I find a solution. He said, yeah, that is an option. You can wait and see. And that's what I did. And I was there to send time with you. Isn't that amazing?
A
true story.
Exactly. Well,
I already realized I had poisoned myself, and I'm not going to let them poison me some more.
Exactly.
If I die,
exactly.
I die. But I'm going to be dying looking for the solution.
and brother, I just wanted to add a little bit to it. I mean, whatever phase you are in your treatment, you know, as my brother Saheed said, you know, when you finish, you know, go to Symptometry, that's the next step, because we will As I said, we will build your cells up and make sure that your DNA cells, we rebuild the cells, your DNA is aligned so that we can nourish your cells so that you can get back to normality. And that's what a lot of people do not know that.
Fail to do.
They fail to do. And, you know, once you have it, you're going through it, you can go to the next step. My husband went through it and went to the next step. And you know what? We didn't have to put up with it because his cells were rebuilt and everything else. So you have the solution. And I'm glad that we're here. But remember that since you're losing energy every time you go in there, that's one of the reasons that will tell you that you're not healing. You're losing energy, you need more energy. So if you're losing energy, it means that nothing is being done for you. But they wouldn't tell you that. So thank you for being here. And Brother Saheed, it's been a pleasure today. And
it's been a pleasure, Ms. Rita.
Yeah.
I certainly appreciate you joining us today. Thank you so very much.
Okay. And assalamu alaikum to all of you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Thank you, Brother and ma'am. That was an excellent question for us to deal with. So we look forward to taking it to the next step, okay?
Okay. All right. Thank you, my brother.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
I look forward to that communication.
Thank you. Yes, sir. Brother and sister, we're going to take a short break, and then we're going to come back and continue with our program today, and we're going to try to get some more questions out of people. And so much we can learn from the person that asks the question. And so many other people benefit from the questions. So many avenues are uncovered through questions. So we look forward to your question. So please do not go anywhere. We still have enough time for you to call someone to share our information, share our number, and ask them to join us. We have some excellent information to continue to share to keep ourselves fortified. You know, we can fortify our system, all 11 of them, against diseases. We have the option, natural ability, for our body parts to resist diseases. And this is what St. Thomas is teaching us, because planet Earth is predatory, adversary, and there's a lot of toxin here that we have to deal with. And the industrial age is not going to go back to the Stone Age. It's not going back to the Stone Age. We have to learn how to navigate ourselves here, how to do a much better job so we don't get a disease. This is what we can do. So please do not go anywhere. You're with Abdul Shaheed, certified centometry health coach, and this is Optimal Health on AM 360. We'll be right back.
Assalamu alaikum. This is your brother, Kareem Hamid, inviting you to join in the study group of the lecture of Imam Waraseddin Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayhi, broadcast Saturday morning at 6 a.m. Central Standard Time here on American Muslim 360. The first hour, we shall play a lecture or address from Imam Waraseddin Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayhi, and in the second hour, we shall open up the telephone line and share with each other the various beneficial points of interest contained in the lecture or address. So join the study group of the lectures of Imam Waraseddin Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayhi on the evolution of revolutionary thought and created purpose every Saturday at 6 a.m. Central Standard Time on American Muslim 360. Let's share. Thank you.
Okay, men, this is your time. Maybe you didn't choose this, but you're here now. You're going to go out there and be an all-star caregiver. It's up to you. So what are you going to do? You're going to go grocery shopping, cook, clean, be there emotionally and physically. You got to dig deeper. Drive them to physical therapy, doctor's appointments. Don't you forget about the pharmacy. I know you won't, because that's what caregivers do. Don't give up. Don't ever give up. This is your time to show the world, your family, and yourself that you're tougher than tough. Now go out there and be the best caregiver this world has ever seen. Caregiving is tougher than tough. Find the care guides you need at aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Fitra Muhammad bringing you good news. Study Al Islam Life Topic Series 2020 is back. How many times have you wondered when reading the Quran, what were the challenges and circumstances that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was facing when Allah sent the angel Gabriel with inspired revelation? Join us at 10 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time every Sunday to learn from our scholarly speakers. If you were unable to connect because your carrier charged the fee, you may now listen online at am360.org. For a complete schedule of our speakers, email studyalislam@gmail.com or pick up the Muslim Journal. Thank you.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. You're with Abdul Shaheed, your host of Ultimate Health, and and also your certified symptometry health coach. The word certified is very important. That means we've been educated, informed, gone through a rigorous course of study at the American School of Symptometry. Brothers and sisters, if you have a question or a comment about cancer, about breast cancer, any observation that you've experienced yourself or with others who have had cancer, things that they tried to do, things that you think is good to prevent cancer, anything at all in terms of questions about cancer and any comment one might have, just press 1 on your phone and we're more than happy to have you to ask your question and make your comment. Any comments at all? I mean, any question at all? Okay, we see a hand raised, 727-741. Your mic is opening. Yeah, your mic is open.
Okay, assalamu alaikum. This is Martha Naila Abdullah calling.
Regularly. How you doing?
Alhamdulillah, much better. I thank Allah for you and all of the information and when we comply, you know, on the scale of, you know, I'm not going to say we're perfect, of course not, but
no,
alhamdulillah.
We're working towards perfection. Yeah, we're working towards perfection.
When we hear the words habits are hard to break, but as long as we're not extreme with it, because we begin to see the results of it, improvement.
Yes.
My question is, in the cancer cells with females, I've noticed, and I don't know if it happens with the male, but hair loss on the head. If there's cancer somewhere else, you know, they have ovarian cancer, why the hair loss?
Most of the time, the hair loss is from the treatment that the person is receiving.
Oh.
Treatment. The chemotherapy, the radiation, it put junk, garbage, in the scalp, in the hair follicles. Therefore, it will be blocking nutrients and resources from entering. See, if you come to symptometry, we'll ionize the junk and the garbage from the treatment, chemotherapy, the radiation, and nourish those cells of the hair follicles, your hair will grow back. Isn't that amazing?
Yes, because I know, you know, many women I've taken care of, and
yes,
they, you know, and they have,
at the
chemo center, they have those little hats already for them, the little bonnets or what have you.
Yes, you don't have to lose your hair. You only lose the hair because the cells in the hair follicle are compromised. There's garbage there. There's sludge there from the radiation, from the treatment.
We already managed to put sludge there on our own because of how we eat food. We eat chaotically, not scientifically. So we all have sludge and garbage. Here's how we get sludge in our system, in our body. Every time we eat food, many of us are eating food 3, 4, 5 times a day. We have salt in our blood. It reacts with every nutrient in the food that we're eating. And if we cook with the wrong salt, other than a salt other than iodine salt, those salt will produce more debris, and we're composed of 94% water. And when debris and water mix together, it produces sludge. Just like in the universe, in the environment, when you have dirt road, I can remember as a child, we had many dirt roads. And when the rain came, we had mud. The car would be sliding all over the place. They get stuck in the ditch. We go out there and play with it. We get stuck in it. That's the same thing that's happened in our body. Many cells would be covered with sludge. Sometimes it has particulates, subatomic particles, to ionize the sludge. Now the cell can be nourished because that would be a hindrance to the cell. You remove the sludge by ionization, and you nourish the cell, the person's hair will grow back. So your hair don't have to fall out. It's only because of the treatment, because the person is poisoning themselves with the treatment. If you came to Sintamja to deal with the cancer by removing the source of it, which is some more sludge from the food that you ate, because many people are cooking with their own salt, and they're cooking with their own oil. Nobody have brought these things to their attention. So now the person is producing more sludge, and more cells have become calcified. Whenever there's cell lockdown, no oxygen is there. It sets the potential. And the condition are favorable for cancer to spontaneously come into existence, especially if there's toxic matter within the cell. It is the toxic matter that not being released that was set the stage for cancer.
Okay, well, and the last question. I know some told me that they took because they didn't have an appetite, like you're saying, after the chemo or the radiation,
yes,
whichever one it is, that they found that they eat the flax, F-L-A-X, see, the one that, what you call it, vacuum pack.
Yes.
And it seems, you know, not that they had a desire to eat, but it kind of helped them in the area of nutrients. But like you're saying, if the nutrients are being blocked off, they're getting a portion, but not enough.
Not enough. Not only that, if anything that have a seed, any seeds consumed at all would be compromising
uh-huh.
to the cell even more. The person is poisoning themselves even more, even though those seeds, we are told that they have nutrients, and that is true.
Uh-huh.
But they also have saturated fat, and they have poison. They have arsenic. They have cyanide, hydrocyanic acid. They have prussic acid, which is cyanide, another name for cyanide. It's in all nuts on planet Earth. All.
Huh.
There's no exception. Because that's what the plant uses to produce poison and to survive. Plants are good at doing that. And a seed is a life germ. Seed is a life germ. And that life germ is protected by poison, believe it or not. You will be poisoned. It don't make any difference whether it came out of the supermarket or came right out of the ground. It doesn't make any difference.
Okay.
All
well, thank you.
Produce poison. So
thank,
you can
thank
come
you,
to Sintometry. You're so welcome to come to Sintometry and remove the disease, what caused the disease in the first place, and you won't have to go through all those things. And a person losing their appetite, that means the hypothalamus is congested because of the treatment. The hypothalamus control our thirst and also control our hunger. If it's compromised based on the treatment that the person is taking, you can lose your appetite, you can lose your smell, your taste, you can go for days and not drinking water. All these things are problematic. So we have the particular to restore the person's appetite. You must eat. You must have an appetite. You lose the appetite, you're also losing energy. because you're losing the resource to produce energy. We can't keep losing energy. We must replace the energy. Matter of fact, we must produce 12 times the energy that we're using. If not, we're on an energy deficit, and when we run out of it, that's when we make our exit from this life. Expiration
date.
Okay,
let's produce one other question.
Go right ahead.
From before, too, as you were talking about the oxygen and that the oxygenated healing that helps the healing process. Now, for those who are on oxygen because they think that, oh, well, my lungs are so depleted that I need to walk around with this oxygen tank. Share with us what is happening there and what they can do. Please.
Yes. Oxygen in a tank is man-made oxygen. It doesn't function correctly in our body. The oxygen that our body uses must be attached to something. What is that something? That something is iron. That's why it's called iron-rich blood, hemoglobin. If iron is not attached, the many organs and tissues and cells will not be oxygenated because the iron is carrying the oxygen. Even though oxygen is the life sustainer, it is iron and sulfur that sustain the oxygen. And see, here again, we need to have a little bit more knowledge because oxygen does not circulate freely in the human body. There must be oxygen pathways. If those pathways have collapsed, those pathways need to be rebuilt. And sometimes we're experts at rebuilding the oxygen pathway. Every nutrient has a pathway to enter into the cell. If it does not go into the cell, it's just like nothing is happening. Just like nothing is happening. So if a person is on oxygen, they need to find out why they're on it and what must be done so that their cells of their lungs will receive the oxygen that they need. Oxygen in an oxygen tank is not the same oxygen that our cells use. Not the same. The iron is attached in the red bone marrow. The red bone marrow. That's where we build healthy red blood cells and white blood cells and platelets. Oftentimes there's sludge and garbage in the red bone marrow. And the people will have blood disorder, blood diseases, blood cancer, cancer of the blood, all these things because of the garbage that's there. And no surgeon, no doctor will reverse it. They don't have what it takes to reverse it. So being on oxygen tanks is not sufficient to improve the person's health. You must produce the oxygen with hemoglobin, iron-rich blood, to circulate throughout the body and reduce the blood impurities from slowing the blood down. Okay?
Yes, sir. Okay. Thank you so much. It's kind of hard, you know, to see a client and don't know the approach because they've gone through so much medical, testing, and family is all included and decision making and it's hard.
It's hard. It's very difficult because it's hard to get everybody on the same page. Everybody got their beliefs, and they're firm in their beliefs, but see, that's not going to cure the person. It's not so much what the person believes. That's a good start, but you must use the right options. You must focus on the cell. It is the cell that restores health, not man. You give the cell what they need, they can perform and figure out almost anything. You take care of them, they'll take care of us. That's the procedure. The Almighty knew exactly what he was doing, but now we have to get in compliance. We must be the one to get in compliance. If our mind continue to disagree with what our cells need, our disease is going to become more and more chronic, more and more chronic. So what happens?
So hospice has dealt itself to be the what do you call it? The protector after a person gets to a certain state of being. And, Okay. I'm thinking of a particular situation, and they've gone to hospice now because they don't see a way out. And I'm asking myself, how do I suggest that to them to, you know, to look into?
Here's the question that you ask them. You ask them if they want to continue to live. Because some people, they're ready to make their transition. They're ready to go. There's
right.
no problem. So that's what we have to ask them. Have they done all that they want to do on this place? Have they fulfilled their purpose? Have they found their purpose and fulfilled the purpose? If they have, what's the point of being around here? But if they have not, and they want to continue to live and carry out their purpose and reach their fullest potential, and they're still breathing, and the Almighty have measure of time, then they can still do something about their situation. They're still breathing, and the Almighty bless us with time, the measure of time. He's in control of the time. No one knows how much time they have.
Right.
But I know we're supposed to put up all of the effort to continue to live.
I mean.
Yes.
I'm going to, inshallah, God willing, make a see which one I should talk to, their daughter or their son or both, or rather than, you know, because the clients will get all hyper and start hyperventilating.
Yeah, invite them to come on the call. Invite them to go to the website and just start reading things for themselves. And their mind would... And their mind could be influenced by that.
Yeah.
That's a good place to start, along with what you're encouraging them to do. Never give up. And that's what we're supposed to be able to, that's what should be inside of us. We have to go down fighting. We just can't succumb to the life, to the forces in life. No, that's why they're here testing us. That's a test.
I mean. All right. Thank you. Thank you. I'm thankful that Allah SWT had me to ask that question, because now that could be a help. Thank you so much.
Yes. Thank you. That question helped a lot of people. Walaik as-salam. Thank you so very much for the question. Thank you. So, brother and sister, if you have a question or comment to make, just press 1 on your phone. We have had some excellent questions and comments today. It's just absolutely amazing how much we learn from people asking questions. There's a lot more to learn from someone just giving a lecture, because we get a chance to see what's on a person's mind, what they're focused on, what their interests are, and what's affecting them. So if you have a question, just press 1 on your phone, and we'll open your mic, and you'll be able to ask your question or share a comment. Otherwise, we'll continue to talk. Okay, we'll continue to talk. So anyone else have a question or comment to make, just press 1 on your phone. Okay, brother and sister, before we continue, I might see another question from Sister Martha. Okay, your mic is open, Sister Martha. You have another question?
Yes, and this is with, because I've heard variations of answers. When a kidney specialist decreased, as long as the client was taking water in, the swelling went down. I mean, it disappeared. See, when an expert, quote unquote, decreased the water intake, then swelling occurred. What is happening? If so, that the person could know. I mean, why is the swelling occurring when they lessen the water?
Well, our cells need to be hydrated, for one thing, and they're not just any kind of water. We should drink water with electrolytes. Should have all eight of them. We should drink water that has the pH from 7.2 to 7.5, because we don't want to be over-acidified. We don't want to be over-alkalized. We want to be right where we should be. And the water should be free of impurities, especially toxic metal. And so if a person is, where is the swelling appearing? In the ankle, legs?
Actually, all over the body. And I'm thinking of a person that is in the hospital, and they come in and they're not swollen. And the moment they begin
they stop
giving
drinking
some
water.
Medicine, and they decrease the water intake, and it seems like the tissues seem to just puffy up all over the body. Then they say, oh, we need to be on dialysis.
It could be a couple of things. Here's what happens when we have so much garbage in us that will cause the deterioration of our collagen. Okay, collagen. We're made of collagen. That's protein. And then if the ammonia in our body, if it increases, it will disintegrate collagen. And wherever that happens, then you're going to have fluid build up. You have swelling there because we're made of water. Okay, we're made of water.
Okay.
So if our tissue began to collapse, swelling and fluids would be there in the area. Nobody poured water into the person. Their tissue is collapsing. This is what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Also, there's two hormones that regulate our fluid level. The fluid keep the fluid balanced. All the steroid and albumin. It regulate fluid level in us. If those hormones are blocked from being produced, then of course the person gonna have swelling. Person gonna have swelling. So we must not allow things that we consume. It could be even at the hospital. If we consume them, then they can call us to have swelling because it will be blocking the production of aldosterone and prostaglandin. That's the other one, prostaglandin. Aldosterone and prostaglandin. There's two of them that regulate body fluids. So if they're not being produced and circulated in the area, then, of course, you can have swelling throughout the whole body if they're blocked
so
from being produced.
So seek to do that. So seek to question that, those things that you just mentioned, rather than optioning out to go totally to dialysis machines.
Right. So for the person going dialysis, you need to know what's their capacity, what's the kidney capacity, the EGFR rate, what's that rate? Is it down past 25? It should be above 60, but if it's not at 25 yet, their kidney can be improved. And see, if the kidneys have blockages, it's always about blockages because you have sludge and garbage and concretion and all these things blocking things from being circulated. If the aldosterone and prostaglandin are not being circulated and you have sludge that's covering the cells, they're not producing the essential to keep things balanced, then you have a problem. So if those nephrons in the kidneys are blocked, they need to be ionized. See, here's again, the doctors do not do, they don't do ionization. They hook you up to the kidney dialysis machine. And we know once you get hooked up to that kidney dialysis machine, it takes all your energy. Your energy is being lost. And they're not going to correct the problem. It is called medical technology. Medical technology, unfortunately, does not cure diseases. It is the cell of our body that cures the person's disease. It removes the blockages, the concretion, and the sludge, and the garbage from those kidneys. They'll be just like new. And nourish the kidney cells. They'll be just like new. Isn't that amazing? We don't need a kidney transplant. None of those things. We just need to remove the garbage. And repair so the epithelium that lines the kidneys can be renewed. The epithelium that lines every tissue, every organs, most of the time they're congested. It would be as though the organ has trouble. No, it could be the epithelium. Something as simple as that. There needs to be ionized because of garbage there. You know, just because the car is not running, it doesn't mean that the engine is messed up. It could be out of gas. It could be a starter. It could be a dead battery. But the engine could be fine. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I understand clearly. I understand. Alhamdulillah. Thank you so very much.
You're welcome. Thank you for the question. Walaikum. Thank you. So, brother and sister, if you have a question, well, I see two hands. Oh, that's another hand. Oh, well, the hand disappeared. Okay, 111. Sister Amina, I know who that number belongs to. Your mic is opening. You'd like to take a moment to open.
Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam, Sister Amina. Thank you for joining us today.
Yes.
How you doing?
You're talking very, 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 very on point about this, what do you call it, the cause of cancer. Oh, my goodness, yes. So I want to go back and listen to the beginning because I'm just coming back from grocery shopping.
Okay.
And, you know, I had my list of foods to eat, you know, with me.
Excellent.
Yes, sir.
That is
I just wanted
That's
to say.
Take care of what you're eating. That's where it all
yes,
starts.
Yes, exactly. And I heard you speak about the epithelial gland. That's
yes,
excellent.
Epithelial.
I'm just turning you back on.
Yeah,
so I just wanted to mention go into that a little bit more and I'll hang up and listen and thank you. Salamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam. Thank you. Press one on your phone so we can mute your mic and have it ready for another person. Yeah, the epithelium, our tissue, our organ, our crepes, everything about the human body have there's nine epithelium that lines all these organ and tissue and everything. Oftentimes, when we have a trouble with an organ, it's not the organ itself. It could be the epithelium that has not been renewed. All of the nine epithelium has their own cycle of renewal. And if we block that cycle of renewal, then that organ will show some problem. Doesn't have to be the organ. It's just like our car. Just because the car is not running, it don't mean that the engine is gone. You know, we have to begin to diagnose, see what the situation is. Could be out of gas. Could be the spark plug might need changing. Could need a new starter. All kind of things. Doesn't mean it's the engine. So it's the same way with the organ. You don't need an organ replacement. Sometimes you just need to remove the garbage and the sludge from the epithelium so they can be renewed. Matter of fact, brother and sister, every part of our body can be renewed. It has its own cycle of renewal. If we keep renewing our body, there will be nothing old inside of us. Isn't that an amazing thought? Don't block the renewal process. We eat food that blocks things because we have more sludge and garbage and debris and poison and toxic in our system from the food, from the air, and from the water. And these things are not all the same. Even they're different in the fruits, different in the vegetable. They're not all the same. Now we should use science to select the one that's best for us to eat. That is what to consume, what is safe to consume on planet Earth. A lot of food available, but what is safe to consume on planet Earth? We should eat the best thereof. The best thereof. All food is not the same. It's not all food don't have the same nutrients and resources. And some food, their nutrients and resources combined with poison. If you cannot neutralize the poison, well, the next best thing to do is to avoid it. Don't eat it. You don't have to eat it. Just because somebody said, "Oh, I'll eat this." No, if it got poison in it and a few nutrients, it's not worth getting sick over it. It's not worth blocking enzyme production. It's not worth blocking the epithelium from being renewed. It's not worth blocking all the steroid and prostaglandin for regulating body fluid. It's just not worth it. We have to keep things normal. A disease, symptom, sickness is abnormal, which means we're not supposed to have a disease. A disease is an abnormality. It's abnormalcy. Health is normalcy. Health is the fitra. And when we violate the health rules, the natural laws, the universal laws, and all these different things that no one has informed us about, that's when we get a disease, when we violate the law and the rules. There are many rules to health. And there's only one place I know that's teaching these rules and laws that govern human anatomy and physiology, and that is the American School of Symptometry, not for profit. That's what it is. So that's the epithelium. Does anyone else have a question or comment to make? Just press one on your phone. Otherwise, we have about 15 more minutes, and we're going to share some information, but we're going to take our final break. Our final break. So please do not go anywhere at all, brothers and sisters. We'll be right back. Thank you. With Abdul Shaheed, your host of Optima Health, and also your certified symptometry health coach. Assalamu alaikum, host, your quality assurance team leader, Abdul Shaheed, here to remind us that our quality assurance reports are due the third Sunday of each month. We're about to complete another fantastic month of broadcasting at AM 360. In our effort to continue to improve our platform, please complete and submit your personal quality assurance report by going to cwsc.us. Do a search in the search bar for SEO quality assurance review. Please read the instructions, then scroll down to complete the review. Once completed, please click the submit button at the bottom left in red. And may we all have another successful month of broadcasting at AM 360. Thank you, Abdul Shaheed, Quality Assurance Team Leader. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back, brothers and sisters. You're with Abdul Shaheed, your host of Optima Health, and also your certified symptometry health coach. We have a few more things that we're going to share with you today. Unless someone have a question, if you have a question, then we will come to you. Just press one on your phone if you have a question or a comment to make, and we'll open your mic. Brothers and sisters, we must provide ourselves with nutrients and resources. This is our obligation, our responsibility. Nutrients and resources, and we are also obligated to protect ourselves and protect our DNA from antagonists, those things that will compromise them. It will protect our DNA and we protect our cells and remove blood impurities and provide ourselves with the nutrients and resources that's needed for them to produce energy, for them to produce brain eccentra, body eccentra, and cell eccentra. We will always be healthy. We will always be healthy because we'll be on the paradigm of normalcy. A disease is abnormalcy, just the opposite, brothers and sisters, because we made a mistake in our food choice and what we choose to drink as water, what we choose to eat as fruits and vegetables. We made a mistake. So we must analyze and think about what we're eating and consuming. Most of the time, that's where it be coming from. The other time, it'll be from exposure, what we expose ourselves to. And we expose ourselves to toxic metal, to radiation, to poison, no matter where they're found. Poison, these things will compromise ourselves. And the final thing that will compromise us is accident. Those are only three ways to get a disease: consumption, exposure, and accident. Now, we have some control over what we're consuming, so we provide ourselves with nutrients and resources. Number one, here's what we need to do. Protein. We need protein. We're not plants. We're protein. Everything about the human being, the gene, the DNA, the RNA, collagen, protein, made from protein. We're not plants. The foundation of a plant is cellulose. Cellulose fiber, which is a starch, network of sugar. Yeah, we need starch so we can get the sugars that we need, the monosaccharide that we need to nourish our cells. So, but we're made of protein. We need protein. The building blocks of protein are called amino acids. The amino acid is the building block for protein. And our DNA made up of 20 amino acids. There's no coincidence. This is how it is. We must know this. That's why we eat in a certain way, to be able to repair our DNA. Because constantly our DNA is breaking down, being fragmented because of what we're eating, smelling, drinking, breathing, all these things. Causes our DNA to become fragmented. And once it's fragmented, it's our responsibility to repair it. Because if we don't repair it, the genes will never release the blueprint, the set of instructions for the cell to produce what it needs to produce to keep us on the paradigm of what's normal. If we don't do that, then we'll be veering off the paradigm of normalcy and the disease will occur. It is as simple as that, brothers and sisters. We're obligated to keep the normalcy. That is the fitra, no doubt about it. We can say what we want or believe what we want, but we're obligated. The Almighty has put system in place to keep us in check. And a disease anywhere in the human body will sooner or later become a mental illness, no doubt. This is what we see in our society today, brother and sister. This is what we see today. So protein, how is the protein cooked? Mostly cooked by using the method that breaks down meat protein and poultry protein to release all of the amino acids after neutralizing the poison in the meat, the antibiotic in the meat, the growth hormone in the meat, and any disease that might be in the meat. Yes, animals have diseases, and plant also have diseases, brother and sister. That's why we must use science to cook them properly. We must cook meat scientifically. We must know how to cook vegetables scientifically. We've been taking too much for granted. And look what that taking things for granted gotten us. We're in a rut because we can't nourish our brain properly to make excellent decisions. Excellent decision. If our body is falling apart, you can rest assured the same thing is happening in our brain. Why? Because our body is interconnected, integrated, interrelated, and interdependent. Every part depends on every other part. And this is what happens. It is to call for that interconnection that we must cure our disease, not allow someone just treat the symptom while the disease become more and more chronic. And this is exactly what happened. If we don't put things back to normalcy, the disease will become more and more chronic until our life is at stake, because the person will be losing energy, rather than conserving energy. We must conserve energy, brothers and sisters. In order to do that, we must be taught how to conserve energy, how not to eat food that takes too much energy to digest. We must get smart and smarter and smarter. So we select our food that takes the least amount of energy, enzyme, digestive enzyme, to digest them. So we can conserve enzyme for ancillary enzyme for repair and maintenance, because we are high maintenance, not low maintenance. High maintenance, brothers and sisters. Get over the thinking that you don't have to do anything to be healthy. Yes, you do. If you don't do anything every day, you're going to lose your health. Health is not guaranteed to anyone. It doesn't come from our parents. It comes from what we're doing every single day. Health is not a destination. It's a journey. Once you stop doing what you need to do, health will be denied. Health will be denied. So we need protein. And we need to cook them by a method to neutralize the poison, the toxins, the antibiotics. Those things denature enzyme. Poison denature enzyme. The growth hormone will impact our own body, make things grow out of proportion. Obesity, which is a big problem because people are not cooking meat scientifically. Too many growth hormones been injected into the meat people are eating. And you consume the meat, those growth hormones continue to operate, continue to do what they've been designed to do. So you must cook the meat scientifically so all of the bonds are broken on those things, brothers and sisters. That's one of our main health tips for today. And brothers and sisters, we just really flat out of time. The time go by so fast, and we have so much information to share. And we're going to ask you to come back and join us next week on our next episode as we make our exit. And please invite someone to come along with you so we can learn about these health rules and learn about what we can do for ourselves and to become empowered to be able to optimize our health. In order for us to optimize our health, brothers and sisters, we have to be on a paradigm of curing every disease in our body, becoming disease-free. That is the phase one to become disease-free. Must have a desire to cure every disease, put everything back to normalcy. The brothers and sisters, there's a program coming up immediately after our program. That program is called Maya Ali Kuliha. And the host is Imam Abdul Aziz from Masjid Adam, the Center of Human Excellence in Bronx, New York. His motto is, we are together under any and all circumstances. So please stick around for his program. His program starts immediately after our program. So stay tuned for him. In the meantime, we're going to share our contact information and remind you also about where we speak during the week. We'd like for you to continue to share our information with others. Others who have a need for a certified centometry health coach. Others who have a need to continue to learn about health and what health is all about. Those other therapeutics, they talk about diseases. They study disease. But here in centometry, optimal health, we study health. There's a different paradigm, a different trajectory in studying diseases, and there's a different trajectory in studying health. So we are students of health, not diseases. And we understand where all diseases come from. So brothers and sisters, please go to the website of the American School of Centometry, not for profit. And that website is amsos.org. Many, many articles posted there. And many, many conditions, symptoms, and diseases. And it also goes into detail as the mistakes that the person is making. So brother and sister, also every Tuesday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time, we have this program called The Science of Health and You on IWDM Blog Talk Radio. And we'd like to invite you to join us tomorrow by dialing into 714-816-4673. That number again is 714-816-4673. No passcode is needed. And from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time, The Science of Health and You. We continue sharing information about optimal health. Also, every Saturday and Sunday morning, we have Morning Tallin from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern Time. We share for an hour about optimal health. You can join us by dialing into free conference call at 267-876-3648. And the passcode is 289-2322#. Brother and sister, we enjoy sharing this information, so please continue to join us. There's so much more information to share. Also, next week, we will have a new episode of Optimal Health. Please join us, same time, same station, here on AM360. You also can join us online at am360.org. Brother and sister, it has been our pleasure to share the information of Optimal Health with you today. We certainly appreciate you joining us, and we look forward to talking with you again on next Monday. We greet everyone with the greeting of peace. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. Thank you.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hamid, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. وبه نستعين والصلاة لله وسلامه ورحمته وبركاته على صفوة الخلق سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطاهرين وعلى أصحابه أجمعين ورحمة الله ومغفرته على تابعين وتابعيهم بإحسان يوم الدين والسلام على إمام ورث الدين والسلام علينا وعلى عباد الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمد عبده ورسوله أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وصلوا نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. We seek refuge in Allah from Shaitan the accursed, and we begin with the name of Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. We praise him and we seek his aid, and we humbly ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after beginning with his name, to establish his prayers, peace, mercy, and blessings upon his noble messenger, Muhammad, the seal of the prophets and messengers, our leader in chief. And we humbly ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to establish the very same prayers, the very same peace, the very same mercy and blessings upon all of his family members who followed him in purification. And we humbly ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to establish the very same prayers, peace, mercy, and blessings upon all of his illustrious companions together. We ask the forgiveness of Allah and mercy upon the followers and their followers in goodness to the day of judgment. And we humbly ask Allah to establish his peace as well as his mercy upon Imam Dr. Warathuddin Muhammad, as we ask Allah to establish peace amongst ourselves and the righteous servants of Allah, no matter where we may be, no matter where we may be from, and to all of that we say, Ameen. I openly bear witness that there is absolutely none worthy of worship or praise except Allah, who is unique without any associate whatsoever. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his servant and his messenger. Dear brothers and sisters, we want to welcome you to tonight's edition of Ma'iyya al-Kulli Hal. I am your host, Imam Abdul Aziz. We're broadcasting live from America's number one Islamic broadcast station, AM 360. And we begin by offering you the greetings of peace, the greetings of paradise, the greetings of the angels, of Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And as always, dear brothers and sisters, we always like to begin by asking you to be generous in your supplication on behalf of the twin servant, Imam Thomas Abdul Salam and his family. And we ask you to do the same on behalf of Imam Khalifa Ramadan and his family. And we ask you to be generous in your supplication on behalf of Imam Farouk Abdul Wali and his family, Imam Rafiq Rasul and his family, upon Imam Vernon Farid and his family, Imam Abdul Majid Kareem Hassan and his family, Imam Ali Rashid and his family, Imam Abdul Baki Abdul Hamid and his family. We also ask you, dear brothers and sisters, to be generous in your supplication on behalf of Imam Qasim Ahmed, Imam Ajin Muhammad, Imam Omar Abdul Jalil and their families. We also ask you to be generous in your supplication on behalf of Sister Al-Hajjah Fajr Tyson, Sister Dalila Al-Hajjah Dalila Shahid, Sister Doreen Muhammad, Sister Robin Muhammad. We ask you to be generous in your supplication on behalf of all of them. And we ask you also to be generous in your supplication on behalf of Sister Aisha, the wife of one of our very own Imam Abdul Kareem Abdul Hamid. And we ask you to be generous in your supplication on behalf of all of them, and Imam Ajin Muhammad, Imam Muhammad Ansari. We also ask you, dear brothers and sisters, to be generous in your supplication on behalf of those brothers and sisters who are going through the suffering in Palestine. We ask you to be generous in your supplication on their behalf. And we also ask you to be generous in your supplication on behalf of all of those around the world, people you know and may not know, who are facing some trial or tribulation, and even upon those who are near. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to aid us and them to stand up to whatever he puts in front of us. And to that we say, Ameen. So tonight, dear brothers and sisters, we are excited because we've had such a wonderful weekend. And we were blessed to be in the company of some of our board members and colleagues from CWSC, and we were mixing it up with our dear brothers and sisters. But it was a conference that were the National Imams Conference that was headed off by the conveners, the seven regions, and was the national convener, Bashir Ali. The host imam was Imam Hatim Hamidullah, such a wonderful host. The environment was very nice. We were able to have a jam-packed house the whole weekend, and it was filled with activities, and it went on without a hitch. And so we want to just talk a little bit about some of the stuff that we heard, some of the things that were thought-provoking, but some takeaways, some things that we can come back home with and try to build off of, if you will. As you know, our late Imam, Imam Dr. Warafuddin Muhammad, rahimahullah, was a mercy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had established upon us by blessing us through him to receive Islam, Islam proper, if you will. And it was through that means that we today are establishing CWSC, AM360, and all of the other entities that exist, and they take pride in saying or taking pride of being a part of the community of Imam Dr. Warafuddin Muhammad, rahimahullah. And it was through his humble effort that we have what we call today CWSC, because of his encouragement to create an intelligentsia. And so we, along with all of the imams from around the country, California, Texas, Alabama, there were people from Oklahoma, there were people there from New York City, there were people there from all of the different regions, New England, the southern region, there were people from California, Midwest, there were people there from Chicago and in Michigan and places like that. And we were able to enjoy their company, which is rare. So it was always, it's always good to be around the believers. But they not only came, their presence was not only felt, but their attitudes and their love for the community and their camaraderie and their brother and sisterhood, their kindness, their warmth, their love, we felt it, dear brothers and sisters. And so the weekend was set, and we were able to look at some of the students, listen to some of the students from the training course that the National Convenience had established, which is a wonderful two-year course, and it's focusing primarily on the commentary of Imam Muhammad, so that people can have a better understanding or a better grasp by taking a closer look at his commentary. And this is for the purposes of us being able to make applications. I always say, and I've been saying it more so as of late, that we have to be able, dear brothers and sisters, to bring together whatever he said and turn it into an action. So if we're saying it, we got to be playing it the way we're saying it. We got to be able to walk it the way we talk it. And that was my message, along with a few things that I was able to bless to say amongst the group. But I really came there with my pen and my paper. I came there to take notes. I came there to examine some of the issues that we were having and add my two cents. But what happened was, dear brothers and sisters, it was so well-rounded that I really didn't have too much to say because they were covering it all. And this was a blessing for me because why spend the energy in going over it again when they already said it? So you found something that you didn't, that nobody said that was needed to be said. And so one of the beauties of that was the fact that all of the participants, they had a wonderful amount of presenters, and each presenter presented something that was very pertinent. One of the researches that was done was based on a survey with regards to the students. That was one of their assignments, to do a survey around the country. And this was the around the country directed at the masajid that are in the Association of Imam Dr. Warafuddin Muhammad. And this survey took a few months to be able to complete, but they've completed it by the time they had the conference. And so they were bringing back their results. And they were color-coding answers. Red represented a community that was dying. Yellow was saying that it was surviving. Green, it was thriving. And these were the colors that were, and we saw a lot of yellow. We saw very few green, but we also saw some red. And my takeaway from us seeing the red was that if we recognize a community in our association that's dying, then we all need to come together to help it. We all need to get together and assist it. And we need to use everything that we have in our power, our radio broadcasts, our promotions, our blogs, our fundraising skills, our ability to put out whatever notice we need, because some of the communities need help in terms of knowledge. They need help in terms of manpower. They need help in terms of finance. It's not always finance. You know, some of our communities are already owned, but the reality is we don't have people there that will be able to run the place. And so these other people come in. So they were talking about preserving our legacy was a big topic. Through media, through the Muslim Journal, there was a big talk about the Muslim Journal, a big talk about making sure that we develop a means of approach. And they used the school of thought, but it's actually they turned it into the school of thinking. The school of thought is past tense, and we're locked into a thought. The idea is that the schools of thought that we know, as we know today, they've closed the door on developing further insights. The door the Ijtihad is closed, so they're just going on opinions of the past, and they haven't arrived at what would be able to address the needs of today in a society like this. And so it would be necessary for us as people in the community of Imam Muhammad, who made it clear that that's our job to take care of, to establish a means of approach, how to apply Islam in this society. Fiqh means understanding. And so how to apply it in this society, how to retain your Islam, how to go through this society and go through it unscathed by the social ills, by pop culture, by all of the things that are being, that these negative influences. How do I get by? How do I retain my five prayers? How do I retain my fasting Ramadan? How do I retain my Hajj and Umrah? How do I retain, you know, giving the zakat? You see, how do I retain the shahada? You see, and so there has to be a further discussion on that subject matter and the development. And they were setting out some standards that they were sharing with us with the intentions of actually formulating something. And I'm all for it. I'm all for it because the reality is Islam is a thinking man's or woman's religion. It's for the thinkers. And so this is nowhere near the stuff that everything that they covered. I'm just giving you some of the things that were covered. One of the other issues that was covered was security. Imam Yusuf Ramadan, Masjid Nuruddin, Queens, New York, he gave a presentation about the need for security in our masajid. And he cited some current events that have taken place and how had we had security there, there probably would have been prevented. And so when we look at this idea being presented, dear brothers and sisters, our community was well known for security. Well known for security. But now it's like that's not a priority when it should be a priority. The safety of our women and children, the safety of our seasoned members, the safety that when they look at the masjid, they know that's a safe place. Not they look at the masjid and don't know what's going to happen in there. It's important for us to understand that, dear brothers and sisters. This was another issue that was a pertinent issue, an issue that was could not be overstated. And there were facts. There are facts that exist right now. Muslims being attacked, Muslims in their prayer space, imams being stabbed and leaving the masjid, being shot, leaving the masjid, in the ranks in the prayer, being attacked, and things of that nature. And so we as a community have to respond to that. I mentioned to the believers yesterday that those of us who are of the Association of Imam Muhammad, there's a charge on us. What is the charge on us? that we establish the four birds. But how do we establish the four birds? We establish them through the verses of the Quran. This is how we establish the four birds. The Imam extracted that from the Quran. So we go back for the answer to that in the Quran. So how do we establish the four birds in our community? Education, finance, culture, government. How do we establish that in our community? We'll go to Surah 2, Surah 3, verse 110. Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrija linnas ta'muruna bil ma'ruf wa tan'una 'anil munkar wa tu'minuna billah. And it says, you are the best community raised up for all mankind. You enjoy what is right, and you forbid what is wrong, and you believe in Allah. So we follow the logic through its logical conclusion. We see that how to apply the four birds. We enjoy what is right in education and forbid what is wrong in it. We enjoy what is right in finance. We forbid what is wrong in it. We enjoy what is right in culture. We forbid what is wrong in it. And we enjoy what is right in government and forbid what is wrong in it. That's the charge on us, dear brothers and sisters, that we don't have the message just to hold on to it. We have the message to give out. This is what makes us the best. How are we the best? Because Allah said it, but He tells us how to become the best. And so we make the connection there, dear brothers and sisters. We spoke on the panel related, one of the issues that was relevant was a topic that they gave me to cover, and this was gun violence in society. And the gun violence that we have in society now in these neighborhoods, we're in a neighborhood right now, it's been gun violence here. And now it's just recently starting to calm down. And the area in which we serve the people, there's zero crime there now. Because of the hard work that the believers have done, we've never went out and spoke to anybody and said, y'all got to stop. They watched our works. They watched our actions. And to this date, they've corresponded with that by making sure that there's peace on that corner. And they don't bring any of that over to the corner. And then across the street now, you don't see anything, and you don't hear anything. They used to have an armed guard with police there coming there every night, every day, because of all of the activities, all of the violence in the neighborhood. And so I cited to them years ago, Imam Muhammad came to South Boston where there was a big race problem. And the mayor was there. All of these people were there, the dignitaries. People came out to hear the Imam. And the Imam said, I have an admission, I have an announcement to make. And he said, I'm here to announce to you that South Boston does not have a race problem. And people looked bewildered, knowing about the real racist stuff that's been going on there at the time. And he says, it has a mind problem. And so I wanted to utilize that as a prerequisite to talking about the gun violence in our neighborhoods. If we change the minds of the people, then you wouldn't have to worry about gun violence. And so we say remake the world. Well, what about the world in your mind? We got to remake that, dear brothers and sisters. So we follow the logic. And there was so much more, dear brothers and sisters, that was there. We had some youth that were there that were very, very, very on point, giving us the indication that the future is bright, but they need our support. A lot of seasoned members were there, and they need to know that what they've sacrificed for is in good hands. But we have to ensure that by helping them find their way. May Allah help us to that. When we come back, we will bring in some callers and get your comments and questions. Assalamu alaikum.
Brother Imam, the life, leadership, and legacy of Wali.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Manira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
We're back, and this is Ma'iya Ala Kuli Hal. I'm your host, Imam Abdulaziz. We're broadcasting live from America's number one Islamic broadcast station, AM 360. We've been talking a little bit about this weekend's National Imams Conference held by the National Conveners, Orlando, Florida, the host, Masjid al-Haq, Orlando, Florida, the resident imam, Imam Hatim Hamidullah, which was a wonderful host. So we were talking about some of the things. We had so many things that they covered, but some of the things that were covered. I'm going to bring in a caller, 111. State your name, where you're calling. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
This is Sister Amina from Atlanta.
Assalamu alaikum, Sister Amina.
I haven't spoken with you all for a while, but I wanted to mention that this is excellent. I'm always elated to hear that there's even been an imam's meeting. Whether it's regionally or nationally, it's always needed so we can assess what is going on in our masajids around the country, like you say. And the other thing is that those of us like myself who have been around a while, I've been Muslim long time, since 1971 I came in the community. I'm from the late Imam Abdul Majid Kareem Hassan's area in Connecticut, Bridgeport. But I'm from that area, you know, that whole that community. I started out and lived in Philadelphia before. This is years ago, and then I've been here in Atlanta for. Oh, my goodness, it's been a long time, almost 40 years, since 1990. That's a long time. And I've been active in the community all this time. But what I'm seeing is one of the things as a believer and a supporter of our community always, you know, I always will be. We need in our masjids, we need to seriously think about and plan for social services in each of these masjids. And we need to look at care for our seniors more. You know, we need legacy building in that area as well as community centers where we can still keep our legacy going and still have places to meet other than, you know, in the Musala to socialize and plan and do maybe entrepreneurship, you know, for the people, the believers that are not necessarily, they may not be retired, but they, you know, semi-retired, you know, they have some things to offer. They have some things to offer to the young people. And one of the things that helps is we need to strengthen and multiply our schools. Get our Clara Muhammad, I mean, Imam W.D. Muhammad, you know, get our schools back. Because a lot of our schools are closing
or at least get a weekend school. If we can't do in the area of a school, we need that keeps the education, legacy going as far as, you know, into the next generation of, you know, seeing and knowing the work that has been done to really bolster our community over the years. We've done a lot that we don't realize. It's just that we have to kind of reinvigorate the entrepreneurship again and get our businesses back up and running again, because the way this society is going, everything economically for the average person, or I don't want to say, it's not always just the low income, you know, middle class and those that have a little bit of wealth, you know, they're suffering too. Economically, everybody is feeling the pinch of, you know, this housing crisis. There's so much homelessness across the country, and it affects Muslims, and it affects those that are loved ones in their families. You know, there's a lot of that that is needed to be coalesced around, and we cannot forget, and we have to try to plan for and see about our homeless Muslim women who are domestic violence survivors. We got a lot of homeless Muslim women across this country in these non-Muslim spaces, or they're out on the streets. We have to really seriously look at it and plan somehow to do, and that comes under the heading of the social services. We really do. And those that are returning citizens coming from out of being incarcerated, I'm helping right now facilitate some housing for my own son who's come out. And there's no housing. This is out of state, you know. But there's no housing available. And if it is, it's high. It's not within reach of working people. You know, rents and mortgages and housing just in general are so high till nobody can afford to live anymore. It's really a crisis. So we have to look at housing. I'm talking about housing for working people, for the masses of the people, you know, and plan that in our masjid planning boards and the Ansari and the Majlis Ashura's, you know, when they coalesce and they meet, this is really urgently needed. We have to really, really, really sincerely look at it, because a lot of people are suffering. This, you know, and not to mention the health care. Our own facilities, there's a lot of Muslims just succumbing to a lot of health problems in these nursing homes or in substandard facilities, because we don't have any of our own. We need to really, really, really sincerely ask Allah, you know, to help us in that effort. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you so much for those comments. May Allah reward you, and I'm glad that you called in, because I hadn't heard from you in a while. And so I'm real grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you called in, especially with those beautiful comments. May Allah continue to bless you, keep you safe, and actually bring forward some of those initiatives that you mentioned, so we can improve at least our standing amongst ourselves. And we say ameen to that. Assalamu alaikum. Seven 727, please state your name, where you're calling from. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
Hi, this is Martha Naira Abdullah Imam. I apologize. I meant to be on, and I fell asleep, do you know? And alhamdulillah, yeah. Greetings of peace to you and everyone else. I wanted to share some information, and hearing Sister Amina is that's like multiplied a thousand of times over from everyone. And I don't know if you've mentioned it, ma'am. I truly apologize. I mean, I just went into a deep sleep. But if you mentioned about this, I know you mentioned about this weekend, and if you had the chance to mention about the survey that is still on the website.
No, I didn't mention that because I was telling the audience that there was so much that I only got around telling them about a few things. But
okay.
Please let them know about the survey and how they can get to the survey. And then tell them about your experience.
Okay, very good. Praise be to Allah for all of us. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Seeking refuge with Allah from the shaitan, the rejected enemy of mankind, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Greetings of peace to everyone. Let me mention that this particular gathering, we can now note it as an historic moment and a very, very much needed relief process that everyone has been feeling. And I would say from 2008 and before the Imam Warsadi Muhammad's transitioning, and then now we're welcoming what we've gone through because it has brought us to the point of actually stating, not only stating, but connecting to make things happen. And that's what transitioned, that's what happened this weekend, first coming with open hearts and open minds and seeking resolve. And seeking to be a participant in that resolve, I say that because for some, it was only one thing. I think one person mentioned that there was, we can't come with jealousy and all of that. So after everyone convening here in Orlando, Florida, here the website that was placed from the imam. It is iwdmcommunity.com. I think it's .com or .org. But iwdmcommunity, if you put that in, it should come up if you're able to go to the website. All right? And by all means, take, because the response is how everything can be actualized. I mean, from the responses. The responses were compiled. What came in before we met, and I'll give you some results, what they shared with us by the region, by the sections, excuse me. I believe there's five sections. You have the southern section, and you have the mid-Atlantic, there's six, I think, and you have the northeastern, and you have the New England, that's four, southwest, midwest, and the west, so that's seven. Seven sections, and all the information is on the website as well as those imams who have committed to being the section conveners for the area. Now, what came out is what is actually happening at masjid level, and I like the way that it happened because in our exercise. We were given three color cards, a green, a red, and a yellow. And then we were asked right off the top that, okay, how is your community doing, your Muslim community, Islamic centers or masjids, how are they doing? And, of course, you want to feel, you want to put forth the best. And so is your community dying? Then you raise the red. Is your community surviving? You know, just hanging on, so to speak, then you raise the yellow. Is your community thriving? Then you raise the green. Well, there were so many green cards raised in the air with some yellow and maybe a couple red. Well, then when we went through the exercise,
asking these questions. Any man, if I have time to share these questions, it's 1 through 15. Then you think about it as you hear it. Number one, are we in good standing with the state? Is your master in good standing with the state? And that went on to say, are you in legal formation? Do you have your legal document? Number two, are our property taxes paid in full? Even if we don't have to pay the property taxes, are our reports being sent in? Number three, do we have insurance? And if so, is it enough? Number four, who is listed as the registered agent for your masjid or Islamic center? Number five, when was the last time our bylaws were updated? Number six, what does our dissolution clause say, and are there any restrictions on who may hold a leadership position in our bylaws? Number seven, who or what name is listed on our deed or our lease? Number eight, do we have a relationship with our city, our county, our state, or whatever is considered a district? Number nine, what knowledge, skills, and abilities do your board members have? And have an A, B area of that. A, have they submitted a bio? B is, are they compliant with the time or term limit? Number 10, do we have an annual operating budget, or do we just pay bills? Number 11, how do we ensure that the members or the donors receive tax donation letters and on time? And there's an ABC of that. There's CMR, which stands for Constituent Relationship Member. B, that's A. B is, how do we communicate with our community? And to give some examples, do you do that by getting their emails or their phone calls, or how is the communication process? And then C, the frequency of annual meetings or your board meetings, open board meetings, meaning that anyone should be able to listen in to your board meetings, not being a part of the voting process, but they do have access to listen in. Number 12. Okay, 13. When was the last time we did an internal or independent financial audit? Number 14. What checks and balances are in place to assure there are no misappropriations of funds, and there's an ABC. How many signees are needed to write checks or withdraw funds from the bank? B, do two people count the cash and checks before the bank deposit is made? And C, does the same person who collects the cash deposit the cash? And how often are bank statements shared? And last but not least, how much money can the treasurer or the board spend without needing a vote of approval? Those were the 15 questions. Now, after those questions, and the assessment of certain information that was sent in from the survey. When they did another assessment, now asking the question about, is your community thriving, or is it dying? And I tell you, there were a few more red cards came up. There were less green cards. So the majority was saying that their community is surviving and they definitely need help. Because, you know, one thing to just think about your community and love your community, but the specifics make a big difference. Now, on the survey, this was submitted, this coming from the National Connect Combination, and they started with Allah's name, the Merciful Benefactor, Merciful Redeemer, and used the Surah Al-Asr, the 103rd surah in the Quran. By the token of time, verily man is in loss, except such as have faith and do righteous deeds and join in the mutual teachings of truth and of patience and constancy. Amen. Okay, how often do you attend, now this goes to the individual, how often do you attend your local masjid or Islamic center? And the percentages were given, and it came out, it says, 1 to 3 times a week. That came out to be 52% of people said that they attend 1 to 3 times a week. For those 4 or more times a week was to 12%. Is that 16%? Then you have less than one time. That was a good 15%. Occasionally, that was 10%, and then there was I can't see what that word is, but that was like 5%. So they did it on a percentage basis. Now, so that means the individual is having to check themselves, of course, and there may be factors as to why that occurred. Which word best describes your local masjid or Islamic center? And the words were, that's where we went through the dying and the surviving, excuse me. Okay, now recurring themes in the data came up. Like when they were asked certain questions from the survey, certain things came up under education, community engagement, leadership development, youth engagement, Islamic education, and mutual support. I'm not showing whether that was on an A or nay or whether, you know, where that is, but it's going to be discussed more and shared. And, of course, remembering that our convener is over the areas, but they convene with the imams from that area, and then the imams, are with their community right there where in the city where we're located. So when certain factors were raised, again, your relationship with the city, your relationship with the county, and your relationship with the state, and how informed are the individuals in the community. And that was the breakdown. And then we had information being shared. And it came from a proactive way of presenting. Imam Hameen, Mikhail Hameen of Miami, wanted to make sure that everyone understands that we have to be active in the community, not just rely on the imam, not just rely on the board members, but every person being active with advertising about what is happening in the masjid and what is happening in the community, and not only advertising, but being there, being action-oriented with actions happening, committee formats, or in the community outreach, and that outreach included knowing what the policies, and I say again, he said it over and over, what are the policies for your educational school board, what is the policy, what are the policies for your city directors, what are the policies, city, county, state, And then with you looking into those policies, then you can begin to recommend amendment or recommend deletion of those policies if they are not helpful to the building community. Then we had the economic persons. I don't know what else to say, but call them economic persons, but willing to take their skill, their expertise of knowing how to acquire money and direct those dollars in creating avenues for education, and they specifically spoke about building or helping to maintain the schools that are currently Sister Clara Muhammad schools or Islamic schools in our community. And this is, again, in association with the leadership of Imam Warsi Muhammad, Rahimahullah. Then we had a survey was done on women and the abortion processes and how that is has been defined as prevalent most of among African-American women, Muslim women. I would say Muslim women, but African-American women, excuse me. Let me correct that. African-Americans, and noted that Imam says, you know, we have to stay connected with the African-American community, inshallah. Let me share this part, Imam. Oh, yes. Instead of using, it was recommended, instead of using the words, if we do, bridging the gap, the generation gap, use the word generational connection. And then we had a response from our young people, Muslim Culture Khan, Jada, and from Atlanta, I believe Jada, Ahmed, and Zay were both present. Very, very wonderful connectors. And there's 9 people on their board. They were definitely asking for assistance and saying, letting us know that they are ready to continue in the leadership because they've already developed a leadership skill in the leadership process whereby they're actively going through it around the country, and they're asking for support to help them keep going around the country. And Zay does his poetry, but it's connected to alerting young people and all ages about al-Islam and their connection with Imam Warsuddin Muhammad, rahimahullah. They actively profess the leadership of Imam Warsuddin Muhammad. Let's see if there was one more. And CWSC, our connection, community-wide Shura conference, we're promoting now the medium connection. And that allows us then to cover more areas of listeners. Medium connection means that we connect on mutual times when we are presenting, like the hosts on AM 360, the time slots that we are presently in our studio, and then the time slot that other mediums such as IWDM Community Radio and or the New Day for Al-Islam Community Radio or A Clear Understanding with Imam Fahim Shuaib and the Facebook, and I think Imam Yahya used Facebook and YouTube, but forming that coalition or that collaboration whereby we connect and we know who we are, medium connectors, who we are and how we can help one another. And we're currently doing that with, again, IWDM Community Radio and A New Day for Al-Islam Community Radio. Imam Mikhail Sahir was present. William Kareem wasn't able to be present, but we did acknowledge him. Now, the Muslim Journal, Professor Aisha Mustafa, what can I say about her? Her presence reminds us of how necessary the Muslim Journal is, and after 60 years being in circulation, starting with another name, of course, but now being Muslim Journal. And Imam Abdul Karim Muhammad, he brought it home with letting us know the various ways that they're with a laptop bag with Muslim Journal name on it, advertisement. That's good, but it's saying follow that up with our good
action of being Muslim and how we connect with others in the community, that we don't exclude anyone in our movement about the community, that we become included in, even from our thinking. Health-wise, Dr. Nuruddin, Dr. Ramadan, I didn't hear him, Imam. Did you? Maybe I had stepped out or something, but Dr. Nuruddin, always right there on time to remind us how not to get sick and how to help ourselves should we get sick, and what are those things that will cause that to happen. Praise be to Almighty God. And I'm thinking, and I'm saying this now without having consulted the rest of the team, but anytime we create an event or organize an event, I'm going to suggest that we seek those who are medically inclined before we make our menu. 90 seconds. Before we make our menus, because then after we've eaten the perhaps the wrong things, then we're like, oh, okay. So it defeats the purpose of our wanting to have excellence throughout. So I'll stop right there, ma'am. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Let me just say this to you, sister. In light of everything that took place over the weekend,
60 seconds.
You also played a major part in the activities. Your presentation, your gathering of information, your support. So your presence was definitely felt. CWSC was definitely in the house. We just want you to know that our efforts there is just like all of our other efforts anywhere else, and that is to bring the community together, and you play a major role in that, and we appreciate you, and we just want you to know that you are definitely what we need in our community. And so we want to thank you. We want to thank you, and there's so many other things that we can say, but we just want to say that that we're happy to be
10 seconds.
Happy to be along with you, and we pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that continue to open this thing up, continue to do the work. And
I mean,
we're happy to just be along with you. That's all.
And I must mention the family structure. The Strategic Family Institute, Khalida Akbar, did deliver that very well, just enough to whet the appetite and to let them know that we are here and we are building, inshallah, with the components, like you just mentioned, of CWSC, that we're here to fit in and help.
Yeah, no question about that. We just want you to know that we're here and we were definitely listening. Along with us being present, we were listening, and we were just happy to be present. And we just want you to know that we appreciate you. And so with that being said, our time is up, so we're going to close out. In fact, you can close us out. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then next week we'll probably have some more information to follow up as a result of what happened over the weekend. Hours not enough time, but we want you to close us out and then thank our audience.
Yes, sir. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. I'm going to make an open dua. Oh Allah, we're thankful to you. We're ever thankful. And we're also grateful for all that you've blessed us with. And we ask that your blessings be upon those who are challenged this time with the atrocities that's happening around the globe, specifically in the Gaza area, the Palestinian-Israeli conflict that is happening, and others, those who are having to migrate, those who are still in bondage physically by in any government. And those who are homeless or houseless, and those seeking help medically, mentally, may we find a ways and means to help one another. We thank you, Allah, for all your blessings. Ameen.
Ameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you so much.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My pleasure.